Let every man prove his own worth, for every man shall bear his own burden. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From the sixth chapter of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. Amen, amen. I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of condemnation. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, with his angels, and then shall be reward every man according to his works. From the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Well, hello again. So, this weekend, we have the intent of justice to examine, explore, and make manifest. And we have two readings from Galatians 6 and John 5, which I just read, both of them talking about different versions of sowing and reaping, which seems to be what is meant by justice. Sowing to the flesh and reaping corruption, or sowing to the Spirit and reaping life everlasting, the resurrection of condemnation, or the resurrection of life. Actually, the word used in John is not resurrection, but rising. Anastasin, resurrection, is not a word found in the Greek Bible. And this produces quite a different meaning in this passage, for to rise means one is already down, not that one has yet to die and then rise again. So if we consider that we have already fallen into death, and the world of the flesh is in fact the world of death, then it makes a lot more sense that we get to rise when we sow to the Spirit and do good to all men. The idea that doing good will bring about resurrection of the dead from the point of view of this world is, by comparison, less convincing. It leads to a need for hell as an even worse place than the world, and generally produces a worldview more focused on bad things than good things. But you only make progress if you can keep your focus on good things, despite the obvious need to acknowledge bad things if you are going to be truthful. The world has enough evil in it without having to invent even worse evils and worse worlds. Not that worse worlds for a free spirit definitely don't exist, but setting your attention on such things is not helpful. The readings on justice make us aware of the sowing and reaping theme, and in particular, sowing to the flesh versus sowing to the Spirit. The one leading to corruption and death, with the other one leading to eternal life. Therefore, We must consider that justice, which is about reaping like unto what you sow, is the process whereby we are encouraged to be on the side of life rather than the side of death. And it's really that simple. The world of the flesh is the world of death. So anything of the flesh has a corrupting influence on your consciousness. That's why these early Christians are so down on the flesh, quote unquote, or carnal things, quote unquote. They regard any activity involving flesh to be sowing corruption, since all flesh dies. The scriptural argument is a little complex, but it goes like this. This world, the world of incarnation, that is, spirit in flesh, is the world of death because it was where Adam was banished after eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So anyone who puts success in this world, selfish and separative success, has sided with this world, the world of death, and hence joined the side of death. Essentially, those who are evil because they are on the side of death rather than life. Those who gain this world become evil by siding with death against life. Placing material existence above awakening consciousness is siding with death, according to this way of looking at good and evil. So, those who sow evil reap evil. That is, they become stuck in ever more degraded states of being until they are no more. Whereas those who sow life reap life. Life is equated with consciousness. Consciousness is ultimately the Christ principle and initially our own conscience. So when you tell the truth, you align with life. When you do good, you align with life. When you follow the love commandments perfectly, you become one with life, and then you are able to enter the kingdom of heaven while still in the world. You are in the world, but not of the world. So justice is very much about reaping what you sow, but what is reaped may not be in the same dimension as what was sown. Your selfish worldly success may not be followed by worldly failure, but something much worse, further entanglement in the morass of materialism and hence evil, further loss of spiritual connection, further loss of life. And if you spend just a few seconds taking personal inventory, you can even feel that loss over time, if not immediately. Yet most of what we crave from the flesh, sensations of life mostly, are not really the property of the flesh, but the activity of the desire mind. Blavatsky used to call it karma rupa. That's the sort of the Sanskrit word for the desire vehicle. The flesh sensations, gustatory, olfactory, visual, auditory, and especially kinesthetic, are not part of the simple flesh world, this world, but rather the world immediately superior to this one, which again Blavatsky called karma loka, the world of ether, of prima materia, the dream world, the astral world, the world where many so-called disincarnates, ranging from demons to angels and from dead men to gods and masters. Yet I tell you that not only diamond body mahatmas and saintly perfected human beings, but also corrupted devilish beings, grey tech elf, plant people, reptilian, insectoid, cyborg and machine people, which are all failed branchings along the human tree, with, of course, the never-human vampiric entities, live in this huge, multi-layered world with those who have passed into the second life before ascent to our shining Father in heaven. So, what is the difference between the saints or masters and indeed the regular people and the poor denizens of the dark worlds of the lower astral? For though all live in the one great world, this dreaming world, if you like, it seems that those permanently past the veil cannot easily mix. I think, for I do not know, the saints have washed their robes white, which means they have cleaned their mind-body. They have, in my view, not destroyed or killed the desire part, but somehow purified it. And there's a reason I believe that. And I don't mean to imply that desires can be sublimated for suppression or repressive holding onto desires, as Blavatsky rightly points out, only cause the human soul to reap a terrible harvest of psychic pain, including potentially numerous reincarnations as a black magician, until you admit your error, claw your way back to the side of life and light. The struggle to get out of the cul-de-sac of selfish desire and return to the upward path of the great life redeemer is what she and Paul, and indeed John, all are cautioning about. Because such a struggle may take not many years, but many lifetimes. If there are very old souls among us, not yet permanently ascended to the higher realms, isn't it possible that the reason for being so old and still being here is they made this very mistake at some point in the past? So if, as I say, killing out or sublimating desires won't deliver the purification that we may reap the life everlasting, what other options are left to us that we may wash our robes white? There are two options I know of. The first are tribulations or trials. These trials are opportunities to purify yourself and grow in great leaps. They are one and the same as the path of initiation. All initiations are trials, which is pretty logical if you think about it. Interestingly, the times right now are times of tribulation. So this is the time when you need to stand up for what is right and just. Then you benefit from the salvific purifying aspect of the troubles in the world. But by standing up, I do not mean engaging in violence. I mean simply doing what is right and just in the face of injustice, evil, and criminal authority. The trick is recognizing the just and not accidentally following the unjust, or you will fail to reap the spiritual benefit. The evil one is very good at lying by blending truth and falsehood together, so it takes considerable intelligence to not be taken in, especially when comfort is on the side of the lies. Just look at how many people were taken in by the COVID op and even took the death jab. Never fear, though, for we will have yet more chances to wash our robes white in the months and perhaps years to come. The evil ones have many future planned and ongoing operations. Just to give you a heads up, here is a by no means exhaustive list. Weather warfare, producing the appearance of climate change, including food destruction. But a lot of other things as well in that weather warfare, geoengineering op. Financial collapse, which will be blamed on various things, including a war and also climate change, but is really due to deliberate economic mismanagement and financial mismanagement and financial criminality. A manufactured food crisis and worldwide starvation. An attempt to bring on nuclear war, which will fail, but will induce mass panic. A fake alien invasion op, and even fake alien gods. All of these operations are about destabilization and fear to pave the way for a multi-stage annexation of the human soul to a near eternal state of slavery. Now, the first of these stages arising from these crises will be a hidden but very real worldwide totalitarian regime using central bank digital currencies and an AI-managed social credit system to produce a permanent physical slavery system. The second stage is the transhumanist virtual reality op, where consciousness will be projected into machines to live forever inside a false world controlled by these would-be gods. But that op will probably run concurrently with the new techno-religion op. And all of it is what should really be called black magic. These technocrats are as much black magicians as the Nazi leadership, their predecessors, were. All of it is satanic in the sense of being anti-human. You have to remember that the adversary, Hasatan, Hashatan, or however you want to say the name, Satan, is not against God, but one of God's angels, and is the adversary of man, the adversary of human beings. And it may even be more than one of God's angels. It's a role or an office. The satanic office is a role that is played. Now, if you think this doesn't matter because you are not going to live very much longer, then okay, maybe you're right. But I invite you to think again. These people, people who are on the side of death, eventually want to project your consciousness into a black box so that you can live forever as a slave. And if you believe at all in reincarnation, this is the world you will again be born into sometime in the future. And if you don't believe in reincarnation, but just think you're going to heaven, then do you really think God is going to be pleased with you if you allow this stuff to happen on your watch? Doesn't Jesus say that to the men that by whom the Son of Man be betrayed, it would be better for him that he not be born? Betrayal of the Son of Man is betrayal of human beings, human values, the Christ in us, and our God-given freedom. In the reading from Michaelmas, or Michaelmas, from the other day, Jesus says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." And something similar is said in one of the other Gospels where Jesus says it would be better that a millstone be hung about the neck and he be thrown in the sea if he causes one of these little ones to stumble. So consider all these unborn souls that will be led into this if by inaction we allow these things to come to pass. So, if you think you will escape all this through death, I believe you need to rethink that, because these compliance operations, which have only just begun, are ultimately about enslaving your divine person to an electronic world of flesh and machine that will masquerade as a higher world, but will in truth be a world of even deeper death than the one we already live in. Most of these trials are still ahead of us, although we are currently entering the peak intensity of one or two of them right now. How we respond to the financial collapse and the artificial weather events will determine much of what happens next. A lot of the infrastructure for the future operations relies on success in earlier operations. So, for example, if people turn to central banks as saviors rather than the villains they actually are, we help CBDCs come into existence. And I should probably explain what a CBDC is. CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, are programmable money in the private control of a corporate elite of central bankers and their proxies in quote-unquote government, yet completely outside the people of the nation's control. If CBDCs are allowed to happen and not rejected, then so will the concomitant social credit systems be allowed to happen, akin to what already exists in China. Because the social credit systems require only the ability to switch your money off at a whim to work. Imagine if suddenly you can't buy any more fuel or use any more electricity because you have reached your quota, your ration. They are already trying this in Germany right now, but with fines. Of course, fines are open to legal challenge. So at the moment in Germany, the powers are limited. However, in Canada, they already froze people's bank accounts because they disagreed with the government and came out and protested. So apparently, they already have the ability in some cases to switch off people's money because it is digital. And if CBDCs are allowed to happen, then every individual will be in a personal fight just to have the ability to exercise rights which are ours by birth. At that point, it's a short slide to hell on earth. By that, I mean facial recognition cameras, 5G AI surveillance mesh networks, militarized foreign rent-a-cops of the Strong Cities initiatives, ground drones controlled from low orbit, and all the rest of the permanent slavery infrastructure, because all of these things already exist somewhere on the planet right now. The orbital space infrastructure also allows for fake meteor threat and fake alien invasion to become manifest. It also allows the gods of Kobol, Martian religion, and the leap into transhumanism to happen. Not that there are not other pathways for the transhumanist agenda and the space alien gods to play out. Injectable self-assembly nanotech biochips, for example. And don't laugh. The technology already exists. And someone was arrested in the US in 2020 for selling some of this stuff deemed to be of national security to China. But the people behind this agenda really love their Hegelian dialectic and pushing people from one manufactured crisis to another manufactured crisis. The good thing for us is we have many opportunities to stand up for what is just and right and thus wash our robes whiter. That is, transform our higher world vehicles together in these big trials. And also there are personal trials, or what people could call initiations, quote unquote, individual initiations, which will be within reach of those ready for them. The end of an age is always supposed to be like this. So why should this one be any different? We're at the end of an age right now. Not everyone is ready and not everyone wants these trials, but for those that do, the vehicles of consciousness may be further purified into something else, eventually becoming a cup worthy or capable of receiving the water of life, the wine of immortality. Another more gradual path of purification, not requiring trials, is the path that is taken by martial arts schools and their analogues. Because all pugilism, martial arts, eventually progresses to inner work with energy that has outward expression in skill at mechanical bodily interactions. This inner work has a purifying effect as flaws in the energy body are removed and thus capacity for power expands. I say energy body, it's not the simple energy body, the simple life energy body, but the energy body is really, it's often split into many different parts, but it's all really one body. So anyway, this inner work purifies the energy body, and your capacity to take more energy and do more things with it expands. And at a certain point, if character flaws are not also fixed, progress in this expansion will pause or even regress. And there's no way to escape the law in this regard. This kind of energy work allows you to learn more and more about yourself, your soul, your higher vehicles. It's not limited to martial arts. Some of the analogues include healing systems like Chinese traditional medicine with an energy or qi working component. Meditation systems, which include both dharana and dhyana, like yoga and Buddhist Dharma systems. Religions may also be analogues to the martial arts approach, so long as they also teach how to work with energy. Some deep Sufi disciplines with meditative practices, Mandians with functioning Nazarene pathway. Not all the Mandians have that anymore. And I think it's hard for you to become a Mandian. And of course, any esoteric Christianity which preserves knowledge of the mysteries of Holy Spirit. The Jewish mysteries, unfortunately, like monastic Christianity and some others, have been duplicated corruptly many times until no cohesive purifying path is discernible to an outside observer. It is surely still there, but extremely difficult to find, let alone enter. Also, soul-focused purifying work should not be confused with using higher energy technologies like doing Reiki or Tree of Life or Names of God workings, for example. This is using higher energy technologies. They're not by themselves actions which will wash your robes any more than doing endless Tai Chi forms or taking yoga to accrue physical benefits will. Without the inner energy work, all these disciplines are just shells. We should also note that there are some people who seek to use unlawful means to sidestep the consequences of their actions, and this is quite natural. Why should a criminal who believes he or she is above the law of the land think that they shouldn't also escape divine law? But the reality is, these attempts to escape are only temporary, because the law they are trying to bend or break through is energetic in nature and not merely a matter of cultural biases. In the end, if you side with death against life, you end up dead because you chose death over life. Souls that will not humble themselves to the law of life, which is basically the love commandments, are choosing death and as such will die more and more with every trial. And it is also worth pointing out, choosing comfort and safety is not the same thing as choosing life. Comfort and safety are often on the side of death and evil. Nor is the choice to kill one in order to save 99 a choice of life, but rather is choosing death. It is a common mistake made by people who do not realize the hubris involved in thinking this is a real choice. How can you know that killing one will save the 99? You can't. In any case, there's always another way. You must never make such a choice, even if the one life is your own, or you are choosing death. But I can hear someone say, didn't Jesus die to save us? Emphatically, no. Jesus was apparently killed by the evil ones, but he never chose to die. And in fact, he did not die, but tricked the evil ones and died unto death, that he should rise up and awaken as the first fruits of them that slept. Later, his sacrifice, literally making himself sacred, that's what sacrifice means, or making himself whole, formed the bridge for others who walked his path as a high road upon which death was trampled underfoot. So when we talk about justice, we must always remember that divine justice is ever on the side of life. Choosing life means choosing justice, and choosing life also means allowing what is to be, exactly as it is, and thus eventually becoming the ground of being for all that is. The at-one-ment, or atonement, with the Father is then not only possible, but a natural outcome of consistently choosing life, and therefore love, and therefore acting rightly. Then no millstones are required, and we can look forward to bathing eternally in the light of His love. Thanks for listening, guys.